praise Love God.
I wish I had the time to tell you a story about a man called Shouting John. But I don't have that time tonight. But you gotta realize, if old John was here, after going through, he'd look back at that old mule and said, since I can't shout in your church, since I can't dance in your church, hold my mule. I feel like shouting right now. I come to tell somebody I feel like I'm praising, praising him. Well, well, help me out, y'all.
Oh,
Amen. Praise God. Glad we're having some
time. I wish I had the time.
Looks like we're back in. Hello, hello, hello. Looks like we're back in. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's great to be here. I just want to say thank you for having me on behalf of David and Diane, Ministry and Friends. I'm Andrew Olander, calling out of Los Angeles, California. Going to bring a word today. I had a talk with somebody that made me want to bring this word. I was going to continue my prayer series, but I decided to switch it up. And I was out running some errands today with my wife. I'm going to give a short story before I jump into the word and prayer and whatnot and explain to you why I'm bringing the word I am. Because I'm bringing a word titled, How Can a Loving God Cause Pain and Suffering, or Bring the Pain and Suffering? So you may think the title sounds a little bit off, but I was actually with my wife today, and we were at a shopping plaza or at a mall, and I saw a guy that was sitting outside with a homeless individual sitting outside with a sign that says, "Don't want money, just want a job." And I went up to him, and I said, "Can I pray for him?" And he said, "Absolutely not." And I was like, "Why?" He said that he's atheist. I take that back. He didn't say he was atheist. He just said that he never said he didn't believe there was a God. He just said he didn't believe in God. So let me take that back. So because atheists, you don't believe that there is a God or ever is or was a God. He never said that. He just said, "I don't believe in God." I said, "Okay, that's fine. And may I ask why, if I may ask?" He said, "All God does is bring me pain, hurt, and suffering my whole life. Why would I believe in that? Why would I believe in somebody that has hurt me so much? Why would I believe in a God that all he does is put me through suffering, makes me hurt, brings me pain? I've never had anything positive happen from him." So that is what inspired me to bring the word on this tonight. And I'm going to give a message. And I immediately came home after I was done with my wife, opened up the Bible, did some research, and this is the word I'm going to bring you. And God really wanted me to share this word tonight because he wanted everyone out there to know that God is not a suffering and pain God. And the Bible never says, although the Bible does never say we won't hurt, we won't suffer, or we won't bring pain. So before I jump any further into the word, let me start with some needed prayer. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just want to start by saying thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to just be here tonight, Lord God, bringing the word. Thank you for allowing me to be breathing right now, Lord God. Lord God, I just give you thanks. I give you glory for who you are, what you do, and where you've brought me, Lord God. Lord God, I give you thanks for allowing me to be saved, Lord God. Lord God, I know that in life we may suffer and we may have pain and we may have hurt, but we know who to turn to, Lord God, in that pain, suffer, and hurt. Lord God, I ask that you allow me to bring this message today to the best of my knowledge, Lord God. And just we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise God. Well, I got about 30 minutes of my time, so I hope I won't take up too much of your time. And I wanted to talk about how could a good God allow so much evil? I don't like using that word evil, but we're going to use this word evil. Why doesn't he do something about it? Couldn't have God created a world without evil or without bad or without pain or without suffering? Probably one of the greatest challenges faced by Christianity and Christians is the reality of evil and suffering. At times, even great people, great thinkers, are baffled by the contradiction between the existence of a loving God and the fact of evil. Now, I want to talk about a little bit about the problem of evil, or the root problem of evil. Solving this contradiction between a loving God and the reality of evil is usually referred to as a theodicy. A theodicy is something that attempts to solve the apparent tension in what is often termed the problem of evil. But the problem of evil is really a series of problems, so to speak. Like many large problems, sometimes it is helpful to break down a large problem into smaller problems. Something I've spoken with my wife is let's not look at the big picture, but let's look at the small picture, because the small picture is usually what's causing the big picture. Amen? So evil, you see, actually extends not only to the moral world, but also to the natural world. When human beings do bad things to one another, that is the moral of evil. But so-called natural disasters, a hurricane, a tornado, an earthquake, a volcano exploding, those are often considered evil as well because of all the suffering they cause. Earthquakes, tidal wave, floods, and all that are examples of this and what might be turned to evil. So what is evil? So we broke down, there is a natural evil, right? There is a natural evil, and there is a worldly evil. Now, what is evil? One helpful approach to solving the problem of evil has to do with defining evil. Christian thinker Augustine defined evil not as a thing in and of itself, but as a parasite of good. Something that is lacking is not a thing in itself. For instance, if you have a hole in your jacket, the hole is not something, but rather is something that is lacking. Augustine also considered evil sometimes that is missing. Indeed, it requires good to exist because it is a parasite. In this sense, Augustine defined evil as a lack of something rather than a thing of substance. This solves some important criticisms. If evil is not an actual thing and it's something that is lacking something, then God cannot be the author of evil. Because in the Bible it says God created everything. God created something, but evil is not something. Evil is a lack of something. I hope I'm making sense here. I really hope I'm making sense. I'm going to say it again to hopefully not confuse you. So in the Bible it says God created the heavens and the earth. God has created everything. God has created everything that is something, okay? A car, a shoe, a jacket, water, a building. That is something. Evil, the root of evil is the lack of something. Does evil argue against God? Now, this guy that I spoke to today claimed he was an atheist, but also claimed he didn't believe in God. Atheist skeptics and other critics of Christianity often argue against God on the basis of reality of evil and suffering. So this guy was telling me that he didn't believe in God because all he's endured every time he went to God was evil and suffering. See, they say since evil and suffering actually exist, God must not exist. So if somebody is suffering in life, or if somebody goes through this quote-unquote evil, there's no God. God does not exist because of suffering. Now, sometimes they will argue that God may exist, but perhaps he's a weak God, an incompetent one, or even an evil one. I've heard people say, yeah, there's a God, but he's actually evil. He's there to cause you pain, cause you discomfort, bring that suffering to you. As I mentioned before, when we go through this, sometimes we say, why, God? Why me? You're questioning God. You're upset with God. You're mad at God. Evil and suffering really mean that God does not exist. Some Christians have responded by turning to the skeptic's argument on its head. They do this by asking, on what basis is something deemed evil? If there is some moral standard the critic is basing their position on, or the person is basing their position on, then the problem of evil becomes an argument for not against the reality of God, After all, in order to call something good or bad or evil, there must be an underlying standard of right and wrong. Like my dad always says, it's either this or that. There's nothing in the middle. It can either be this or it can be that. I use football. I'm a big football guy. When you start a football game and you do a coin toss, it's either heads or tails. There's nothing in the middle. It can't be anything else. It's either a head or a tail. Atheists like to argue that this standard is rooted in God and his nature, and that bringing suffering is rooted in God. He's going to bring us suffering. We know his moral law exists, so we recognize the reality of evil and suffering, but unless there is a moral standard, we have no real basis for calling anything evil. So I want to break down moral evil, and natural evil. And then we're going to look at a couple of Bible scriptures. So, as we noted earlier, there is a difference between moral evil and natural evil. Moral evil is explained by the fact that human beings, us, commit evil against one another. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we hurt, and a lot more. This does not argue against Christianity, but instead it proves the point that there is something very wrong with human nature as now it is. But what about natural evil? Couldn't there be less suffering? Why doesn't God stop things like earthquakes and tsunamis? Again, this ties into the broad Christian explanation of the human predicament. Paradise has been lost due to moral shortcomings. As a result, we live in a fallen world east of Eden. As a result, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. The good news is that although this is not the best world, it's the best way to be the best possible world. And someday God will ultimately and finally overcome evil entirely. But I want this to start tonight, because I've been in that guy's shoes. I've been in the shoes where I was just asking, why, God? Why? Why me? All I've been doing is hurting. All I've been doing is suffering. Why me? And it's very common for us, because our flesh is weak, to question God, to question him about our pain, about our suffering, about evilness, about anything negative going wrong in our lives. But are we asking God the real question we should be answering? I want to turn to the Bible and give some Bible verses and really have a distinguished input on evil and suffering. It is evident, everybody. It is evident, y'all, that the world is full of suffering, especially right now. Physical, emotional, and spiritual pain has been and will be a part of the human experience. The type and example of suffering that I want everybody to know was Jesus Christ. Now, we complain about pain in our legs. We complain about we're going through a harsh time. We're going through, I didn't get the job. I got in a car accident. Suffering. It could be other examples that any reason why you may be suffering. Jesus Christ was persecuted and crucified by the Roman officials. Suffering will indeed come. But God can give us grace and power to overcome every trial and fulfill our purpose and mission in his kingdom. Am I talking to anybody that has been hurt or suffered? The Bible gives us counsel on the meaning of suffering and how we can best endure it. Because I'm going to tell you something. When we're hurt, when we're suffering, there's only two ways to go. You can either throw in that white flag and give up and be like this guy and sit out there in front of a mall holding up a sign saying, there is no God. All he does is bring pain. All he does is bring suffering. I'm done with my life. Or you can turn to the God. The Bible says that God will have us in pain and suffering, but he will never put us through a situation we can't bear, or he will be able to get us out of. I'm not sure if anybody's ever played, there was a game on the computer. I know I'm kind of off track of this over here, but I kind of want to give this an example. I used to play a lot of games on the computer back then, and there was a game called Roller Coaster Tycoon. And you were pretty much an individual that built your own theme park. Okay? And you had this mouse or cursor on your computer that you were able to pick up and drag your guy or your, you know, your little worker anywhere you wanted him to go in the park. So you get to build in this theme park, and then you drop this guy in the middle of madness of the theme park and pretty much tell him, you know, get to work. Because you got to hire a security guard and a maintenance guy. So you're dropping these guys throughout the theme park, and it gives you messages as you go that so-and-so is stressed out. His workload is too much. So-and-so can't manage this. So-and-so needs to be moved. So-and-so is, you know, angry, upset at his work, and blah, blah. And you're getting all these messages, and you as a owner of a theme park have to know what to do with your staff. But there's something that that game created that I want to use the analogy for tonight to explain to you how when you're in that moment of stress, when you're in that moment of suffering, when you're in that moment of you don't know what to do anymore, you don't believe in God. God is that cursor to pick you up, right where you're at and just move you over and pick you up and transfer you out and over to another side, to a less stressful side, to a less manageable workload, to a less financial burden of a situation. God is that cursor that goes in and whoop, picks you up and whoop, puts you over there. But we can only do that if we have faith in him that he's going to come and do that for us. Now, the Bible verses that I want to talk about tonight is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 14 says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Don't fear. Don't be frightened. As we always say here, I think I got this message from Pastor Shaw, this slogan from Pastor Shaw says, God is on the throne. God is still on the throne. God is always on the throne. No need to frighten. No need to fear. In 1 Peter also, in the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Peter 4, 1, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffered in the body is done with sin. And I wanted to say that for last, but I was reading through my notes. I got to get it out there now. I'm going to read it again. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. We have to suffer to get through sin. We're going to suffer. Get it through your head. You're going to suffer. But you're not going to suffer long, and it's not going to be life-term. And if you have faith in God tonight, if you have faith in God, Your suffering is over with. Your pain is over with. 1 Peter chapter 5, next chapter. I was really reading a chapter in 1 Peter today as I was doing my research on my notes. 1 Peter talks a lot about pain, suffering, enduring pain. So we did 1 Peter 3, 1 Peter 4. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. It says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while." Hold on. Let me backtrack. "And the God of all grace, who called you to eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast after you have suffered." After you have suffered. You want to be restored, right? You want to be strong and back on your feet, right? Because standing with a sign in front of the mall and saying there's no God is not going to get you there. You want a way to get there. I'm showing you tonight how to get there and who to give it to. You want to be picked up and swoop and whoop. That's how you do it. Speaking to me tonight, it's like 71 degrees out here and I'm sweating. I don't know how this is possible, but glory to your name. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 2, it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." God is good. When you pass through those waters, I will be with you. "And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." You see, in the Bible, it says there's water and then there's rivers. God is saying, I'm going to be with you through the water and through the river. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When that current gets a little bit heavy, when that tide picks up a little bit and that pain starts to creep up and that suffering starts to creep up, don't worry. It's not going to sweep over you. I got it. I got it for you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. This is all in Isaiah 43:2. I'm going to start from the beginning. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. The suffering will not light you up. The flames will not put you on fire. The rivers will not sweep over you." Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. In Isaiah 53:3, it says, "A man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces, was despised and held himself low in esteem." And this is the verse that really is in comparison to the people, or I should say to the people, to the individuals who put themselves down when we go through this pain and suffering, because that's the easy thing to do and the easy way to do. But we're so weak-minded up here in the brain and the head. And what I mean by weak is not muscle weak. I mean thought process weak. Because we're lazy. We give up too quick. And so I'm going to end right there because I am going to continue this next week and talking about pain and suffering, because next week I'm going to talk about my life a little bit and the scriptures that helped me get through my pain and my suffering. Maybe you guys can relate a little bit. But I definitely, definitely want to give you thanks. I'm going to close out in prayer. But before I do, I just want to give you thanks and for allowing me to give this message to you tonight, to hopefully open up some eyes, ears, and souls who is going through pain and suffering at the moment and going through that time where you're stuck. You don't know what to do. You've already tried and you don't know what to do anymore. You don't even know
if there's a way up. And Lady D's been talking about light and dark, and this is a perfect time because pain and suffering can be that dark. But we're here to bring you that light. And we're here to bring you God to your life to bring you that light. Let me close in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for being with us. Lord God, we give you thanks for being with us through the ups and the downs. Lord God, we thank you for being with us through the ups and downs of my life and many others, and for the many blessings that you have given me, for which I praise and thank you. You know the struggles that I have, the pain I've endured and the suffering that I've endured for a long time. And now that there is a little bit of that that has come to rest, Lord God, I give you thanks. But I believe that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that you know every part of my body, Lord God. You know exactly what I have been gone through, my pain and my suffering. I come to you, Lord God, now asking that you would work a full recovery, Lord God, in anybody that is going through pain, that is going through suffering, and is causing persistent pain and suffering that has not seeked you. Lord God, I pray that you would, in your mercy, Lord God, give them the strength they need as we help them find you, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you guide along the path that you have planned for them. We ask you to draw near them, Lord God. Touch them. Stand between them and the suffering. Stand between them and the pain. We ask that you help them rise with hope and fall upon your word and your promises. We ask for healing, Lord God. Lord God, I'm praying for only what you can do. Only what you can do, Lord God. I'm praying for a miracle for anybody that has turned to you, Lord God. We know you're the source. We know you are where it comes from. Lord God, we trust in you. We have faith in you. Teach them, Lord God, teach them to know and wonder why. If you are willing, I am waiting, ready to receive my blessing, Lord God. Lord God, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory as we do every day of our lives, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Whew, that was such a powerful
Never
message today. I'm glad
made
I brought it forward. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We bring our Bible readings every day with Pastor Shaw Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock Pacific and 6 o'clock Central. We also have Lady B who comes with a powerful word as we keep you guys all up into loop. We're going to close out, and I believe our next message will be on Sunday for our Sunday church service. And I thank you guys for listening to my message. And we give you praise, honor, and glory, Lord God. And we just give you thanks for everybody that was listening live or that were going to the archive. So be safe.
Amen.
Praise God.
I wish I had the time to tell you a story about a man called Shelly John. But I don't have But you gotta realize, if old John was here, after going through, he'd look back at that old mule and say, since I can't shout in your church, since I can't dance in your church, oh, my mule, I feel like shouting right now. I come to tell somebody I feel like praising.